Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we again bow our heads humbly before you, recognizing how desperately we need your help. We thank you that you did not leave us as orphans, but you sent the Holy Spirit to be the helper, to be in us, to be the transformer in our lives, to transform us from the old man to the new man. We pray, Father, for that guidance of the Holy Spirit as we study your word today. We need the revelation that only the Spirit of God can give, because we know that the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. In Jesus' name, we pray for that help and guidance today. Amen. All right, let's begin today's lesson. Last week, we began looking at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. The apostles had spent enough time with Jesus to recognize how effective his prayer life was and the time he spent with the Father in prayer when he would separate himself onto the Father and leave the disciples behind so that he could press into his relationship with his Heavenly Father. And they wanted to know how to pray. And so we began to look at that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, and where he says, "Pray this in this manner: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We ended there last week. Hallowed be your name. And so he was introducing the apostles to the fatherhood of God, our Father, not just a Father, but our Father, who is where? In heaven, making a distinction between earthly fathers and religious fathers and the Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." This is the instructions of the New Testament. God's holiness is a difficult attribute for humans to understand. I'm sure that if you ask 10 people to describe God's holiness, you would receive 10 different answers. We talked about that last week. Each answer would be limited to by the individual's fallen human understanding and personal experience. Jesus' life is the only real valid representation of the holiness of God that we have in human form. We know God the Father by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he lived here on earth. His holy life became our pattern for how we should live as children of God. And of course, his life was completely governed by the power of the Holy Spirit residing in him. He laid aside his divine side and trusted completely in the Spirit of God that had been given to him in his when he came up out of the waters of baptism and was anointed for his earthly ministry as Messiah and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we need to understand that Jesus himself was totally dependent upon the third person of the Godhead, whom we're studying and having devotions around, the Holy Spirit. So we have to press in and get to know him, because he knows the Father. He knows the Son, because he is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. I just wanted to recap that as we go forward today. And we're going to be looking at the next part of this prayer is, "Come, Kingdom of God." Jesus is calling the disciples into his ministry of declaring the kingdom of God, the first advent of the kingdom after our Lord was crucified. He descended into hell, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later after his resurrection. The Spirit is the one who brought the kingdom to the earth. He is the one that causes the will of God to be accomplished. Many believe the kingdom is a future event, but Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, the kingdom of God is here. It's in you. It's in your midst." Luke 17:21. The King James Version translates it this way: "The kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom was present because the King was present. Jesus is ruling from heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell each believer. The kingdom of God is present in the believer here and now. The kingdom is not a future event. The kingdom is present in the Spirit. That's the point of the Spirit coming. Paul wrote this way: "The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit," Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God came to earth when the Holy Spirit arrived. The will of God is being worked out through the Spirit even unto this day. We are to continue to pray for the kingdom of God to come, but with an emphasis of increase in the earth. From the days of the apostles to the present, one purpose of the Spirit has been to increase the kingdom of God in the earth until the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. See Habakkuk 2:14. That's the will of God, to fill the earth with the very presence of God, with the very presence of Christ. And it's Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. How is he in us? He's in us by his Holy Spirit. He physically isn't in us, obviously, but by his Spirit, the living Christ dwells in us through the power of his resurrection. It is important to evaluate the increase of the kingdom of God in our own lives. Many receive Christ as their Savior, but neglect to receive him as Lord in the present. We first ask for God's kingdom to come into us. We ask the Holy Spirit to take control in every area of our life. We then begin to share the kingdom of God with others, giving them an opportunity to receive God's grace. If they respond to the invitation, they too may have the kingdom of God reigning in their life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Each person who repents of their sins, and invites the Holy Spirit to fill them, then receives the promise of the Father. When someone does this, they are receiving God's kingdom. What a wonderful gift the Father has given to us through his Son. As you pray, your kingdom come, as Jesus instructed, your will be done. Pray for the Holy Spirit to enlarge the kingdom of God in your life. Pray for the power to live a life fully committed to our great King and his kingdom purpose in the earth. Thank him for calling you into the kingdom of God and a relationship of service. Father, we are so grateful that the Holy Spirit has come to indwell each believer. We thank you for this gift of the Helper, because we can't walk this life without your help, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we learn how to pray for your will to be done in Matthew 6:10, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we understand that that will is going to be done through your people by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. There's nothing more important than the will of God. His will reigns supreme above all else. God the Father has invited humanity to cooperate with his purposes. The will of God is rooted in his purpose. Jesus is the full revelation of that purpose. A new man. Jesus completely fulfilled his Father's will through his human life. He was led by the Holy Spirit to represent God the Father and lay down his own life for the lost humanity. And in his redemptive work, he made it possible for all to be reconciled to the Father. Jesus has made it possible for each believer to do God's will through the power of the Spirit. I want you to get a hold of that. Each believer has been given the ability to live for God through the power of his Spirit. Just as Jesus intercedes on our behalf, we have been invited to intercede on behalf of those yet needing redemption and those around us that are in need of God's help. Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9. God's will is that each believer be matured in Christ and give testimony of God's salvation to others. Just think, if every believer was praying for the lost and sharing their faith, how many might be saved? The Lord Jesus did the will of his Father when he walked on the earth. He finished the work when he died for the sins of the entire world. The Father raised him up through his surpassing power and seated him in the highest authority at his own right hand. The purpose of our salvation is to be joined with the Lord in doing the Father's bidding on earth. Yes, we will go to heaven and be with him throughout eternity, but for now, it is about doing his will here on earth. God's will was accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ and made it possible for each one of us to enter in. God's will was accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only acceptable sacrifice for sin. He redeemed all of mankind once and for all. No other sacrifice is needed, only the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given to each believer to help us, was given to each believer to help us to be able to do God's will. He brought conviction for sin, righteousness, and judgment. He is bringing forth a new man in the earth. This new man is known as the corporate body of Christ. He made it possible for the will of God to be done in and through each believer's life. Today, examine yourself and see if you are doing his will. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal any areas of your life that fall short of the will of God. Quickly repent and renounce any of those areas he shows you. Receive the Holy Spirit in a fresh infilling of power and do the work of the Father in your life. And then he goes on and he says, on earth as it is in heaven. So God's purpose is to bring forth his will on earth, even as it's done in heaven. God had to many years ago cleanse heaven when Satan rebelled, when Lucifer rebelled. The son of the morning, who was a choir leader and deceived a third of the angels, God had to cast them out of heaven and cleanse heaven from that rebellion. And now his residence is in the earthly realm, and he's here to test us and to tempt us and to try to divert us from the will of God. And he does that through the sin nature that is in every man and every woman. But God has overcome him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has said himself that the prince of this world has been judged. Satan is the prince of the world, but God has judged him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand why he's teaching his apostles to pray this kind of prayer. God's will is for heaven's influence to be brought to earth. His plan from the beginning was that his creation man would fill the earth with the righteousness of heaven. He began by creating man in his own image. Because of man's disobedience in the garden, sin entered the scene. In God's dealings with Adam and Eve, he looked down the annals of time and said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head. He was talking to the serpent. And you shall bruise him on the heel. Galatians 3:15. We have come to understand that the Lord was speaking about the battle between Satan and Christ, which ensued when Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to provide redemption for all mankind. In the process, Satan bruised him through the crucifixion. But Christ the Lord crushed Satan's ability to stop the advancement of the Lord's kingdom purpose in the earth. One day, the old earth and heaven, the whole earth and heaven will be destroyed, and a new heaven and earth created. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. 2 Peter 3:18. This is a prophetic mystery about which the scriptures speak. We should not get hung up in mysteries and things which are not altogether clear. We need to trust God about the future. While in the present, we seek his face to know his will for our daily lives. As long as we draw breath, we are called to affect the earth with heaven's perspective and heaven's authority. My spiritual father, I used to pray with him every morning before going to work, and he taught me how to pray. Father, give us heaven's view. Help us to see things from heaven's perspective. Because we're very nearsighted, you might say, we're not able to see things so clearly from heaven's perspective without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we enter into this perspective of asking God to give us heaven's view, heaven's perspective. And one day I was struggling over a certain area, and the Lord challenged me. He says, how have you been praying? Haven't you been praying for my perspective? And I said, yes, Lord. He says, well, don't you believe me that I'm giving it to you? And that's when I knew that what God was showing me in the Word of God was reality for my life and for the life of others, as I would be called into the ministry to serve him and to represent him. So we worship and praise, and it must be continual throughout our life, for this is part of bringing heaven to earth. My daily walk should include intimate fellowship with the Godhead. This is bringing heaven to earth. As I observe needs in the lives of people, I am a ready servant to help meet these needs as God enables me. This is bringing heaven to earth. As I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me and release his gifts through me and others, through me to others, this is bringing heaven to earth. God's love for me and God's love in me released to others in my daily life most assuredly helps bring heaven to earth. Keep this phrase in your mind, on earth as in heaven. Amen. We should be thinking about that throughout the day, on earth as in heaven. It will help you to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his plans. Father, I pray that our lives will be used to manifest heaven's will here on earth. Please continue to change me into Christ's likeness. Help me put on the mind of Christ in all that I do and in everything that I say. Lord, you are faithful, so please cause me to be faithful in doing your will consistently. And I pray that prayer over all your people that are listening to the sound of my voice today. In Jesus' precious name, may that be our prayer on a daily basis. And then he leads us to pray, give us today tomorrow's supply. Give us today our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread in Matthew 6:11. And so we're talking about the supply of God in our lives on a daily basis. God, our God, is the God of today, just as he was the God of yesterday and will be the God of tomorrow. It is today that our need is greatest. God takes from his eternal storehouse to supply us on a daily basis. Beloved, we're tapping into the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ when we pray this way, when we think this way. The writer of Hebrews tells us, draw near to God with confidence to the throne of grace, so you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. James reminds us that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, or variation, or shifting, or shadow. James 1:17. It's not a shifting shadow. It's not a shadow that changes. Every promise of God is yes and amen, Paul says in Corinthians. God just does not change. He is our rock and our fortress. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, and He shows us the Father's will. For every need we may possibly have, we can receive the Father's resources by the Holy Spirit. Shadows change as the sun moves across the sky, but God never changes. God spoke through the prophet Malachi, stating, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. God supplied all of Israel's needs back in that day, even as they demonstrated stubbornness and rebellion through disobedience. How much more will He give us our daily need because of what Jesus has established for us in a better covenant? Jesus fulfilled the Father's will on earth and made it possible for each of us to receive our portion from the Father, from the Father's supply. Come with confidence, asking the Father for bread. It may be natural food, or it may be bread of healing, as with the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. It may be a passage the Holy Spirit gives in order to help bring you through a tough time. We call this the bread of His Word. Jesus is the bread which came down from heaven to feed the whole world. Father, I thank You for the promise that You will supply all of my needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, the Lord. Please grant me an increasing grace to trust You daily. As I trust in You, help me to be an inspiration to others in their time of difficulty. Beloved, that's a daily prayer we ought to be praying. And then he teaches them to pray for their daily bread. And I think we're going to pick that up now we'll touch it today. We'll finish up with this thought. Amen. Our daily bread. In the Old Testament, the priests were required to bake fresh showbread every day in the tabernacle and then in the temple. The showbread spoke of the presence, His presence. God's presence was made fresh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said to the multitudes, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. John 6:35. Eating of this bread fills us up. Eating of the bread of this bread satisfies. Eating of this bread will sustain us when everything else seems to be lacking. Isn't that powerful? The Holy Spirit of God has come as the Comforter. He is the one who indwells us. He is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. He is the one who supplies us with the spiritual food necessary for our daily existence. He is the promised daily bread. He feeds us with God's Word. He releases God's gifts through us for others, and He builds us up in our inner man so we might mature in the Lord. Whenever I turn to the Holy Spirit, He brings refreshment, which cannot be compared to anything else in this world. The psalmist expresses it like this, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise You. So will I bless You. As long as I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul is satisfied as marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Psalm 63:3-5. So allow the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come this full way in your life today and throughout this week. He is He has bread for you right now that will nourish and sustain you every day. Turn to him and say, give me this day the bread you have for my life. I ask for my spirit, soul, and body to be fed daily upon the presence of your life. Father, you are my resting place. I feed at your table and drink from your cup. I want to thank you for being my source and my supply. It is you that sustains me. Can you say that, beloved? That should be our confession on a daily basis. Amen. Well, our time is up for today, and I thank you for joining us once again, and encourage you to drop us a line at our P.O. Box. We'd love to hear from you and know what God's doing in your life and what the broadcast would mean, what the broadcast means to you. And so, again, write us, if you would, at CCM P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you next week at the same time. Or at least we'll be here at the microphone next week. Same time, same station, godradio1.com, 6:30. Amen. Have a blessed week. Walk with the King, beloved.